Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome and thank you for tuning into In the Arms of the Angels, hosted by Dr. Kai McNeil on Spiritual Connections Radio.
Hi, good evening. This is Pam Latour for Spiritual Connections Radio. Tonight I am filling in for Mark Rawson as the co-host of the show. Today is Dr. Connie McNeil in the Arms of the Angels, and she'll have to tell you, we moved recently most of the shows from weekly to once a month, and I think that also goes for Dr. Connie, and she can fill you in on that since I'm not completely up on Mark's schedule. But we have an exciting show for you tonight. Connie and I were just talking about it, and to reiterate, this is Spiritual Connections Radio, and you are going to be on with Dr. Connie McNeil. Connie, are you there?
I am here.
Welcome, welcome, and thank you so much for doing the show for us tonight.
I am very excited. Thank you. Thanks, Pam. And like I told you before, it's great to have all this female energy rushing through the airwaves, so I'm very excited.
Thanks. And tell me, Connie, at the half an hour, that means at 8:30, you're going to be accepting callers for free readings, am I right?
Free angel card readings, that is correct.
Free angel card readings, wonderful. And mm-hmm. The telephone number to call in is area code 646-716-9663. So call in for your free reading at the half an hour mark at 8:30, and Dr. Connie would be happy to take your call. So why don't I ask you to take it from here? And if you need me, I'm right here.
Okay, cool. Just don't forget me at the half hour, and come back in and you know, do your thing at the half hour.
I'm staying with you.
Awesome.
I want to hear everything you have to say.
Okay, I'm ready.
Right.
Okay, thank you so much for tuning in this evening. Generally, my show is the first Thursday of every month. This month was just a one-time change. So if you are so inclined, I would love to have you tune in on the first Thursday of every month at 8 o'clock on Eastern Time. My website is drconniesays.com, and if you would like to go on, I have just a smattering of things that you might find interesting. So please go on and check out my website. I really feel deeply connected with this this evening, and I find that it's where a lot of people on their spiritual journey seem to be, and it seems to be like the universe is calling for a deeper connection and a deeper relationship between us and God. I use God. You can use spirit or universe or whatever, but in the upbringing I had, God was a big part of my family, so that just sort of rolls off my tongue a lot easier. But please interchange whatever word that you want. One of the things that I know that I know, and one of the things that I feel that the universe really wants us to understand, is how much God's got our back and how much God wants for us to have what we want and wants for us to live a happy, peaceful, blissful life. And I have found that there are some ways to get there that are they're pretty tried and true ways Some I've experienced, some I have read, some I have heard from other people, but it all comes from really good sources. I would think that for most of us, there is a deep desire to have something. And this desire may be something that you've spoken about to other people, or it may be that deep inner longing that you've always had, but you just don't know how to get there. Or maybe you are afraid to take the steps toward moving in that direction. Or maybe you've prayed and you've prayed for years and years and nothing has happened. So you think that the desire that you have or the dream that you have is just a pipe dream and it's never going to happen because, you know, you really thought about it and you worked on it and you didn't see God really doing anything. So you just surmised that it just must not have been in your highest good for this to happen. God is asking me to tell you is this. Number one, you need to know what it is you want. You need to know what it is you want to the degree that you can see it. You can describe it. You can feel it. When you close your eyes, you can picture it. If that desire was not in your heart, then it would not be, well, let me put it the other way. If the desire is in your heart, it means it's attainable. If the desire is deeply in your heart, and as you continue to pray, you continue to get guidance to move toward that direction, then it is attainable for you. It is unique to you. I have no desire to snowboard down a high mountain. That is not in my, that's not anywhere on my bucket list. So that is not something that is a deep desire for me because it's just not in my, it's not in my makeup. It's not anything that I really want. But if it's something that you want, then it's entirely possible. So the thing that you want can be very unique for you. And that's okay, but you need to get to the point where you see it and you know it and you can describe it. And if you saw it in a picture, you go, yeah, that's it. That's exactly what I want. Once you really know what this thing is that you want, you need to decide, is the universe that has your back, or the God that you serve, are they or it or she capable creating that with you? If the answer to that is no, then we're done. If the answer to that is yeah, I really do believe in my heart that it's possible, then you get to stand in that belief that God, the universe, is going to co-create for you what it is that you want. When you have decided that the universe is going to back you, then you go to God or the universe and you present what it is you want, exactly what you want. So if you want a new house with 5 bedrooms and 6 bathrooms and a tennis court, if that's your heart's desire, then don't go and ask God for a 2-bedroom apartment. Picture in your mind exactly what it is you want to the point that you can then go to the universe or go to God and tell the universe exactly what it is you want. And then imagine giving this bundle, this package, to your ascended master or your angel. It's very easy for me to picture Jesus. So I would give my prayer, my bundle, my desire, dream to Jesus. But you can picture, again, anything that resonates with you. And you do this prayer in quiet. You do it in silence. You find an alone spot, and you just sit with your thought. And a lot of the times when we come to God or the universe, we're thinking more about how something cannot happen, or we're thinking more about the problem or what it is we don't have, as opposed to just dwelling on who the co-creator is in this, in what you and the universe is going to create. So when you come in prayer, and when you have your bundle, your package, your dream, and you're ready to give to the universe that deep desire in your heart, when you go in prayer, just dwell on the power of who you're going to give this package to. Don't worry about how it's going to be done, or when it's going to be done, or where it's going to be done. But you dwell on the power that you are uniting your spirit with to create this dream that you have given to the universe. And after you have done that, you find ways that work for you on a daily basis to keep that goal and that dream alive. It can be reading inspirational books. It can be daily just revisiting the remembrance of handing your dream. It can be going back to remembering who you are co-creating with. And it is being very aware of when you have the fear and the doubt and the questionings that are going to come up. And I have a couple of stories that I wanted to share from you. This is from the Bible, it's from the Gospel, from the book of Matthew, who was one of the disciples. And the first story is when Jesus had just heard about the death of his cousin, John the Baptist. He's very upset, he's very distraught, and he gets on a boat, and he just wants to go be by himself. Well, his ministry has been ongoing, and so people know who he is, people know of his miracles, and people start following the boat because they know where the boat's going to land. So Jesus gets to where the boat lands, and there's close to 15,000 people. The Bible talks about 5,000, but that's only talking about the men. There were 5,000 men there, plus the women and the children. So he sits down with them, and he ministers to them, and he is with them in the way that he is, which reminds me that when we're on our journey and when we're asking God to present this, and we're working together to create this what we want. And we may just want to, you know, kind of sit back and just kind of wait for things to happen. But your life is going to happen while you're waiting. So when things come up, you need to live your life. You need to go out and take care of your job. You need to take care of your family. You need to be in the moment and live in with the anticipation that your desire is going to be fulfilled at any time, but you don't just kick back and wait for it to happen. So as much as you might want to just, you know, go in a quiet corner and wait, life is going to present itself for you. And this, and it did for Jesus. So here he is. He wanted to be alone. He's grieving. But now he's got like 15,000 people that are wanting them to attend to them. So it's starting to get late. They get hungry. And there's no food. They're out in the middle of the desert. There's no food. So the disciples say, well, let's go ahead and just, you know, call it a night, and we'll just send them back to the village and then go get something to eat. And Jesus said, no, you go feed them. And the disciples just dropped their teeth. They said, what do you mean? And so Jesus said, okay, just go through the crowd and see what food you can find. So they come back. They said, they bring a small boy with them, and the boy said, well, all I have is my lunch that my mother fixed for me. It's small loaves of bread and two small fish. And Jesus said, great, that's enough. So everybody sit down. He blesses the food, feeds all like 15,000 people with these five little loaves and two fish. And then when they go to collect what's left, there are 12 baskets full of what's left of the food. And we've all had these experiences when God or the universe has made such a big demonstration that we don't have a doubt in our mind that the God or the universe that we serve is going to take care of every single need that we have. But for some reason, we can't seem to stay there. And we get into our conversations with other people, and we get into our doubt, and we get into our fear. And the story, this is exactly what happens in the next story. So now we're coming off the mountaintop. I mean, Jesus has just performed a, you know, miracle that 15,000 people have witnessed, including the disciples. So Jesus still wants to have some alone time. So he tells the disciples to get in the boat, go across the water. And he said he'd meet them on the other side. So he goes up in a mountain. He prays. He wants to be by himself. And while he's praying, there's a big storm that comes up over the sea. So Jesus just took off and started walking across the water toward the boat. It's about 4 o'clock in the morning now. The disciples see Jesus. They become very afraid. They think it's a ghost. They think they're all going to die. And Jesus said, no, it's me. And Peter said, Jesus, if it's really you, then I want to come out and meet you in the water. Jesus said, come on out. So Peter climbs over the boat, starts walking across the water, and he's really doing great at his faith walk. Now remember, he's just seen Jesus feed 15,000 people with five little loaves of bread and two fish. He's just witnessed that hours before. And he starts walking across the water. And instead of keeping his eyes on Jesus, he starts looking at the problem. He's looking at the water. He's looking at the, this is taking such a long time. He's looking at things like this never, good things like this never happen for somebody like me. He's looking at, oh, I've got passed up for that promotion so many times, or, oh, I can never find, you know, a relationship that works, or, oh, the money's just not there. He starts seeing the water. He takes his eyes off of Jesus, and the minute he does, he starts to sink. So what Jesus does and what he does for all of us all of the time, he holds out his hand. And the minute that Peter's hand touches the hand of the Christ, he's lifted up out of the water, and they walk together to the boat. So when you have your dream, and when you are remembering those times when God or the universe has been so right there for you and things have worked out miraculously, that is the same God and universe that is helping you create what it is you want. But what so many of us do when we get on our faith walk, becoming more aware of what's not happening, because generally after we present our request, the skies do not open, the waters do not part, the skies do not, you know, the world does not tremble. We make this huge ritual of giving our dreams and desires to the universe, and we look around and nothing is happening. The phone call doesn't come. The date didn't arrive. The check is, you've got $5 in the bank and you're hoping to make it to the next paycheck. That's the time, like Peter, when we can it becomes very easy to start looking at the circumstances around us so that we lose focus and we don't keep our eye on our goal. And what I know for sure is that the universe is our supply. The universe is what gives us peace. The universe is what gives us purpose. It is not a person. It is not a place. And it is not a thing. And when we take our eyes off of the universe or God or whoever we're looking at, and we put it on the guy or the job or the money or the health or the whatever, we have made that our temporary God. And that's when we start to sink, because we cannot get fulfillment out of a person or a place or a thing. So when you find that you are on your faith walk and you have made your commitment, there are several things that would be very beneficial for you. One is not to tell a lot of people. It's not general conversation. Oh, by the way, I have this dream to open up a flower shop, and I want to quit my job, and I want to go, do this thing, and because you're going to get 15 different people telling you 15 different pieces of advice. What a horrible economy this is, and what if you can't find a good location, and well, you know how expensive it is to run your own business, and you're going to get the potential of these so-called, and I'm putting this in quotes, these friends, of talking you out of your dream if you just make it in casual conversation. Do not get into what-if conversations. What-if conversations are based in fear. They're based in doubt. Because if you have aligned yourself with the universe, and by listening to the universe's voice, listening to your gut hunches, the desires that you continue to have, if you are really aligning yourself with the universe, and by that I mean being in a place where you just breathe and you're quiet and you let the universe guide you, and you go with that guidance. And if that guidance is moving you toward opening a flower shop, then you know you're on the right path. And you don't need to ask other people's opinion. you don't need to seek other people's advice, because you're going to get where they're coming from, which is not where you're coming from, because owning a flower shop is not their dream. It's yours. And to live a dynamic, fulfilled life with the life purpose that we can embody is a very individual thing. And it's not for everybody to throw in their two cents worth. So not only do you stay away from what-if conversations, you don't contribute to them either. So if your friend comes to you and says, well, you know, I've really been thinking about moving to Montana, raising horses, and that sounds like the most horrible thing to you ever, then you say, great. If that's where you really feel like you need to be, go for it. And let that individual decide for themselves whether that particular thought or dream is for their highest good. You will find your strength in silence. You will find your way in quiet. You can take a 5-minute bathroom break, and you can go somewhere and breathe and get centered if you find that your thoughts are pulling toward fear. You can find affirmations. If you need spiritual help, then you call someone who you, as a spiritual, for spiritual advice. Because the universe may be asking you to remove some blocks that would keep you maybe from old mindsets or fear, karma. There could be any number of things that could be blocking you from your dream. Not that your dream isn't viable, but that your dream just needs to, the path just needs to be clear. So sometimes God may lead you to for spirit work, which is totally acceptable. But just to have a casual conversation of, oh, I think I'm going to move to Montana and raise horses, when that's my really deep, burning desire, the potential to set yourself up for a lot of people giving you free advice is very, very likely. I'm going to stop real briefly and let Pam come back on and do your half-hour thing and see if we have any callers.
All right. Well, I have to say that was some amazing advice. It was presented in a very clear manner, and I just loved it. I'm going to be listening to your show regularly from now on.
Oh, thank you.
Awesome. And for all of those listening out there, you're listening to Spiritual Connections Radio. I'm Pam Latour, and I'm substituting just temporarily for Mark Rawson, who is usually on the show. But I am glad to help Dr. Connie. You're listening to Dr. Connie McNeil, and tonight's show is In the Arms of the Angels. Dr. Connie, do you want to talk about your website, how people can reach you, and also when your show regularly airs?
My show regularly airs on the first Thursday of every month, 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock Eastern Time. Mm-hmm. And again, this was just because of a scheduling snafu that I'm here on this night. But I'm telling you that I know it was a God deal because of my personal experiences this week that really honed in what needs to happen if you're going to manifest what you want. So sometimes things happen because they're supposed to happen that way. My website is drconniesays.com. I do have some free things on there. I do have a couple of things on there for purchase. And I have, you are, one thing that I do have is for a mere $25, there is a, I can do an email reading for you. If you want to email me your question, then I will do the cards, whichever, I have several decks, whichever the angels bring me to, and then I will give you a response within, you know, 24 to 48 hours.
Well, that's
so,
a good deal.
I thought it was a good deal.
Yeah, it
I
is.
I thought it was
that's
a good
a
deal.
Deal. You know what's an even better deal?
What's that?
The readings on the air live was free.
Yeah. Don't you think?
Absolutely true. And we have somebody waiting.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So when you're ready, are you ready to do that? Or did you want to go on?
No, I'm good. I just didn't see my cards. But I'm good. I'm here. All right. I'm ready.
Okay. Well, we have Janine on the line.
Janine,
yes. Janine, can you hear us?
Hi, how are you? Yes.
Good.
Hi.
Go ahead,
hi,
you're
Janine,
on the air.
How are you this evening? Thank you. Janine,
well,
how are you this evening?
I'm doing good. Enjoying your show so far.
Thank you. So how can we help you this evening?
Well, I have a question for you. I'm in the healing work myself, and my father and my brother feel like it's what I do is like, you know, they don't understand it, or it's a woo-woo or demonic, and pretty much we're estranged because of it. So I wondered if what you see, if there will be a way to help them understand.
Okay, I'm going to do a card reading, but I'm also going to share with you something. I grew up in a very fundamental Christian home,
mm-hmm.
and the thought of any sort of angel cards or any sort of any even angelic work is very mm-hmm. frightening for my family. And I was visiting my mother recently. I had my cards, and she said that she was so uncomfortable with having them in the house, she didn't even want them in the house. So out of respect for her, I took my cards and I kept them in the trunk. And I watched her have her morning ritual with her, you know, with God. But I wasn't in her way. But I wasn't allowed to have the ritual in my way with my God. So I get it, been there.
Okay.
And what I had to do is just, I just let her be, and I'm also doing a reading, but just let her be and know that that's where she needs to be in her comfort level. And I just needed to take my own responsibility to make sure that I got my connection with God in my own way, in a way that didn't offend her.
I understand.
So, but let me do... Because I know what it's like when you feel like you have such an insight, and of course you want to share it with the people you love the most.
Right.
What are you doing right now toward sort of merging your, letting them know how you are? What are you doing right now?
You say you're... What type of work am I doing, healing work?
No,
or you mean
with your family that's kind of keeping them?
Well, they're, my dad is very religious, my mom not as much. And basically last year he told me, you know, he didn't want me to stay in their home. He, like, barely talks to me at all. My brother's the same. So... You know, I just had wrote a letter and just, you know, sharing how hurt I was and just, you know, that I'm living my passion and I'm not doing anything offensive. God is my forefront. That's who I look to every day and that I don't understand it. And that just kind of is where it ended.
Okay. there's two things that I'm getting. One is the standing up for yourself and saying, this is who I am, is spot on.
Mm-hmm.
Because what God is looking for are people who are going to stand and be committed to their walk.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, whether they approve or not, it's not going to stop my path and what I'm supposed to do in this lifetime.
Right. Another mm-hmm. thing that I want you to see, what I want you to do and what the cards are saying is by using your imagination and having confidence in your own power and ability to heal, because you are a healer.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to imagine going into your parents' home and having a wonderful, loving reunion.
Okay.
Just because, since we're all one, and it may never happen, but it's going to open up healing for you. Because right
okay.
now you're carrying the hurt of not being accepted by the people that should accept you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. True.
So loving them and accepting them for exactly where and who they are is exactly what you want from them.
I understand.
Does that make sense?
It does. Mm-hmm.
So picture
it as if it's already done.
Hold them and be very confident in your approach that, and you are going to send them love every single day. Because it's not, if I hold fast to my belief, but I lose connection with the people that I love the most, then I need to live my faith in a way that totally accepts people where they are.
Gotcha.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
And since you're the more evolved one spiritually, God is asking you to do it because your family's not going to.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean that you can't continue to walk your walk and do your work and but when we come from that area of total love and total acceptance, then it's going to make your healing work that much stronger.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. It definitely
You're
gave
very
me some
welcome.
Clarity.
God bless you. Thank you.
I'll let you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
Okay. Well, that was a lovely reading, Connie. Thank you for that. On
You're
behalf
welcome.
Of Jean, I wanted to talk to you about a couple things.
Sure. I know you're on speakerphone, but can you move a little closer? Because I'm having
how about
little problems
that?
With you. This is
yeah.
better.
Yeah, thanks for mentioning that. I'm focusing on my notes and not on the microphone. This is what I want to talk about. You know, I really loved the idea that you were mentioning earlier about the story of Jesus walking on the water and Peter going out and then shifting his attention to what seemed like the problem instead of the solution and having him begin to sink. It's a lovely analogy for life. And it got me thinking. The other day, I was reading this book called Spiritual Liberation by Michael Beckwith. You know, Michael Beckwith was one of the teachers in The Secret.
Right.
And he was talking about evolved people in this book. And he mentioned that evolved people see life as, and I'm paraphrasing, they see life as something to celebrate rather than a problem to solve.
And it just struck me so powerfully when I read that, because I, like many women, get wrapped up in making life better, always. You're always focused on making life better, solving other people's problems, fixing it for everyone. You know, I have 5 children, and there's always 2 or 3 of them that are having issues. And I know you have more than one child, at least 3, don't you?
Four.
Okay. So, mm-hmm. You know, it's when you're in that situation, you're always, always trying to make life better. Even to the point that you go into a restaurant and you're redesigning it for them.
Right.
You know, everything, it's like a constant problem to solve. And this concept of releasing that and just celebrating life for the perfection that it, the perfection within the imperfection, is just a phenomenal concept. And I love the way you put it.
And I wanted to not only, it's not only the celebrating of the life, but it's the so immersing yourself in acceptance and love for other people, because we can only go 2 routes. We can either go down the fear road or the love road. And I was watching a couple of nights ago, they had a documentary on the 4 young, I think they were college freshmen in the 1960s, the 4 young black college freshmen that sat in the Woolworth counter in Greensboro, North Carolina. And the rah-rah that started, and then just a couple of nights later, they showed a movie of the assassination of Medgar Evers, and the 25 years after the assassination occurred, they put the guy on trial for the 3rd time by a white district attorney. And sometimes it's just the standing in the right. Sometimes it's just the standing in it's the standing and the celebrating of being able to make a difference, like the caller with her family. Mm-hmm. And even though people didn't understand him and people ostracized him and it ruined his political career and his wife left him and these four young black boys, one of them who decided to stay in Greensboro, could never find a job because he was branded a troublemaker. So sometimes the what we are called for when we're asked to make a difference can be as beautiful as it is frightening. But keeping that goal of that passion alive is I think what, besides the celebrating of the life, it's the living and the passion that keeps it going.
Well, that's interesting. You know, it really is a difficult situation when the people that are close to you understand the least.
Right. But if I know that I picked my parents, then there is a life lesson for me. It's broader than, it's bigger than, gee, I wish my mom would let me bring my tarot cards and my angel cards into her home. I mean, there's angels talking, they talk about angels in the Bible, and she's afraid over a deck of angel cards. So to me, it doesn't even logically make sense, but because I picked my mother, there, sometimes we get to stand stronger in what we choose to do by looking at the opposition and knowing that we have to stand against it.
I see. Well, you're right on
that. 'Cause, but it also is an invitation for acceptance of being tolerant in
their belief as much as we want them to be as tolerant in our belief, you know.
Well, that's a good point, too. You know, this concept of a light in the darkness, I think, is a phenomenal idea, because I'm sure you know that the whole concept of creation is based on the concept of who you're being and how you see yourself. And it's really not nearly as important as how other people see you as to how you see yourself. And the idea of seeing yourself as a light in the darkness, I think, is really a fascinating concept. That's how I've heard Jesus described. What do you think about it?
In those moments when I picture myself, I always see myself holding a lantern and lighting the way.
Oh, that's cool. I like that. And, you know, for those healers out there that are listening to the show, those people that are beginning their journey, or people that have been on their journey a long time, trying to help fellow humans, trying to help nature, trying to help the planet, trying to help in general, stepping in and being facilitators of the light, what would you suggest to them? What's the one thing you've learned as someone that can do that and that does do that on a regular basis? What is the one thing that you've learned that you can share with them?
For me, it's been I've always felt that I was a conduit, and I tried to get myself out of the way as much as possible, so that God could just speak through me. But it's also a tremendous responsibility of making sure that I stay in a place where I read and I continue to work on my own self, so that I'm I don't have any blocks. And one thing that I've done from very early on is I've read and I've had a breathing coach. I've had Reiki done. I've had, you know, theta healing done. If there's any time that I feel like I have a question or need something, I would go. I sought after, and I hungered for people that could teach me. And I think that has helped as well.
So your advice, if I can sort of summarize that clarify it in my own mind, is to get yourself out of the way as much as possible and be a clean channel by, when your own emotional things come up, when your own issues in life come up, to try to get those taken care of as quickly as possible, in whatever manner it's necessary, so that you can continue to hold that lantern, continue to shine that light into the world and help other people as well. Am I right?
Right. Yeah. And I never asked anybody to do anything that I wasn't willing to do.
Okay.
So if I was,
what do you mean?
If I were giving advice to somebody, I wouldn't give them something that was so out of their realm that they wouldn't be able to do it. I always tried to keep it in something that I could do myself. I know I'm not saying this correctly, but it's one of the things that happened for me is that I have been through a great deal of ups and downs. And I think that they were ordained, and I think part of the only reason that I'm still here is I just kept one foot in front of the other. You know, a lot of people say getting a PhD is, you don't have to be incredibly smart to get a PhD, you just have to jump through all the hoops. Mm-hmm. So part of allowing God to infuse himself in you is just keeping one foot in front of the other. It's not because you are or do anything any more special than anybody else. You just don't give up. And sometimes God will put you through the ringer because you have asked to before you came into this lifetime, or it's karma, or it's something, it's a cleansing something. But every knock and every ding that I've had has given me an opportunity to be of service to somebody.
Okay, that's an interesting concept. So what I take from that is that even the things that seem like knocks, as you put them, or disadvantaged situations or circumstances end up becoming a positive situation for someone else and perhaps eventually for yourself as well.
Right. Because every time I've picked myself back up and every time that I've had another disappointment and got over it, and I always turned back to God, it's I got closer, and I understood more,
mm-hmm.
and it became I could conceptualize easier this faith walk and not living in fear like I used to, and not living in depression like I used to, and not living in so much self beat up like I used to. So for me, it's been a journey of cleansing almost every time I fell and I had to get back up, and going back to God and getting back on my knees and reading books and getting that all has, and now just sort of like it's culminated, you know.
Right.
But now for me, that's kind of the way that it's worked for me. One of the reasons that I really feel I'm really good at what I do for psychotherapy, there's very few things people can say to me that I haven't experienced at some level.
Okay.
It's very humbling. Good.
Do you think that and we were talking right before the show went on, and we were saying that things are shifting for so many people. Things are shifting for each of us personally. And mm-hmm. we were talking about Mark Rawson, who is normally the facilitator of the show. And he was saying, and he as well, things are changing for him and for myself and for you. Do you really think that there is a shift upward for humanity, that things are getting better for everyone in general?
I think that because of the way that I felt in almost an urgency in sharing what I did this evening, I do believe that. I think that it's time. I think that the universe and God and there's enough enlightenment now that it's time for people to be bolder in their journey.
I like that.
It's gotta make a shift.
So thinking bigger, I think is really kind of where we're going with this conversation. You know, thinking oftentimes people let go of what they really want, which is what you were saying earlier. You know, first you need to figure out what you really want, and so many people don't know what they really want because they've let it go so long ago, thinking it wasn't possible. So coming back to that is a level of thinking bigger.
Right. And knowing that we don't have to compromise.
I like that. Absolutely true. We don't have to compromise. We can have what we want.
Right.
Now, so...
And if it's... I'm sorry?
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, if it's something that is, for whatever reason, would not be in our highest good, as we listen, if we don't get that thing that we have in our head, as long as we say that or something better, then it gives the universe the permission to tweak what needs to be tweaked. So I may not get the, you know, mansion on the hillside, because that mansion on the hillside is going to cause me more problems than I think, so I'll get this great little place over here that's going to work out perfectly for me.
Uh-huh.
Because I gave the universe permission to having my dream that's in my highest good.
Lovely. Well, Dr. Connie, this is the end of the show, unfortunately. Oh, I have to close everything down, but I want to thank you for a lovely show. I had a great time. I learned a lot, and I so value this show. It's beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you. It's a beautiful place to be. The first Thursday in June, as far as I know, 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, right here.
Wonderful. And we will see you there. Thanks so much.
Okey-dokey. You bet. Thank you so much.
Have a nice month.
Thanks. You too. Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye, audience. Thanks for listening.